Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for today. And we thank your love and goodness to us, Lord. And it is good to be in church. And it's good that we can laugh together and cry together. We can share our emotions with the dear people in this room because we know you, Lord, and we're friends and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I ask you right now to fill any need and heartache that may be in this room this morning. I pray, God, that you'd empower Brother Bracelin as he preaches. Pray, God, you'd use him mightily, Lord. And I pray, God, that all hearts would be attentive, every single individual. I pray that we would settle any distraction that we may be thinking about. Cast it aside right now, Lord, and help us not to think about things that we can't do anything about right now. But help us to be focused upon the preaching of your word. Change us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Bracelin's going to come and preach, and appreciate him so very much. So,
thank you.
Okay, you don't need this.
I don't need that one. I'm good. Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I am honored to be a father myself, and grateful for that privilege to have seen children come into the world, and now grandchildren. Grandchildren are great too. I've heard somebody say if they knew how great grandchildren were, they would have had them first and skipped the children. I don't agree with that. I love our children too. We've been blessed, and thank the Lord for our kids and for now their children too. Terry and I have 7 grandchildren. We have 4 granddaughters and then 3 grandsons. They came in that order, and we love them to death and look forward to seeing them again. And thank the Lord for the privilege of being a dad. I thank God for my dad this morning. I know right where he's sitting right now. I know right where he's at. I know where he was at 6:30 this morning, too. He was at his kitchen table. I could tell you the chair he was in, and he was praying for us. And that's a great privilege. And I called him before on our way here. We called him, and I said to him, you know, I love you, Dad. He said, I've already been praying for you this morning. Praying for your preaching time. I know it's going to be good. So I thank God for a good godly heritage. And by the way, I'm grateful for godly in-laws too. I know a lot of people hate their in-laws. I happen to love mine. But I praise God for that. I've praised God for them raising a good daughter for me to marry. And for me to be with so many years. Terry and I have been married, I think I mentioned it Wednesday night, for 68 years. And it's true. I've been married to her for 34 years, and she's been married to me for 34 years. 68. That's the new math right there. But anyway, we have had a great time with you. We thank you for opening your doors yesterday. We had a great day here. I had deaf from all over the area, from Rhode Island and Massachusetts here yesterday. And John Dillon came. He and his wife Darlene came from Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple. John is deaf. His wife is deaf as well. And he's been helping me to speak to the deaf some and in the New England area. And he did a great job yesterday too. So we appreciate you opening your doors for us. The lunch was fantastic. We ate well. And we had a great time of fellowship around the food, which because we're Baptists, you know, that's a requirement. And we had a great time. Open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles with me this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. I will sign in just a moment. I will preach in 2 languages simultaneously. And I will tell you that sign language and English don't match exactly the same. So you will hear me say some words that will not actually be coming off my hands. My hands will say different words. But hopefully it'll be clear to both of the hearing and the deaf. Pastor did mention our prayer cards are on the back table. He mentioned to put us on your refrigerator. I like that idea. I always tell people this, either put us in your Bible or on your refrigerator, whichever one you go to the most. And I won't say which one it would be on in my house, but probably on the refrigerator. But anyway, our prayer cards are back. We do appreciate you praying for us. On the back of our prayer cards, you'll notice what we call the manual alphabet. It's the ABCs. You can memorize those. They're on that back table. And the letter that's back there is we send out a bi-monthly newsletter. Every other month, we send out a prayer letter. And if you'd be interested in getting that, you can contact me. Our email address is on the prayer card, please. If you want it, I send it electronically as well as snail mail. So either one, we'd be glad to add you to our list. I just wanted to mention that to you. I was thinking this morning of a good Father's Day message. By the way, the Bible's full of great messages. I don't think you can go wrong anywhere. But a few months ago, I was reading through 1 Chronicles. And I don't know about you, I try to read through my Bible every year. And in the process of that, I've done it so many times now that I'm kind of familiar when I'm coming to certain books or certain chapters. You know, my mind automatically jumps ahead to what I think is there or what I remember being there. And when I come to the book of 1 Chronicles, I'm just being honest with you. I know I'm a preacher, and I'm supposed to say that, but when I get to 1 Chronicles, it's a little bit of work for me. Names, you know, strange names and different things. And yet, I want to tell you, on every page of the Word of God, there's some gems. Every page. And I love the Word of God. I love what it has done in my life. But I was reading through, just kind of going through my normal schedule, and it came upon a verse that really jumped off the page at me. Now, I've read it many times before, and for whatever reason, I'm not sure why, but this time it really got a hold of my attention. To give you just a little bit of background, David wanted to build a temple for God. He looked around, and God had blessed him so much. David is considered the greatest king in the history of Israel to this very day. Matter of fact, the Jews still refer to Jerusalem as the city of David to this day. David is revered and honored, but he wanted to build a temple for God. As he shared that with the prophet, they said, "No, God's touched our heart. You're not the man for that. Your son will build a temple, but you've shed too much blood. You've killed too many people at this point for you to build a temple." And for whatever reason, God just said, "You're not the man." And yet, David still had within his heart that desire to build this temple for God. And so I want you to see what it says in beginning in verse 2, chapter 22, verse 2. "And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God." Have any of you been to Israel, by the way? Has anybody been to Israel before? You have? Have you been? You've been to the Western Wall. You've seen where the Dome of the Rock is today. But isn't it amazing how huge the stones are at the base of that wall? I mean, they have stones there. I forget how many tons, 32 tons, one stone at the foundation. And I wonder how they got it there without cranes. It's amazing, but they did. But David got these things together, verse 2. And verse 3, here's the verse that I want you to catch. I know it's a little strange. I'm a little strange. And maybe that's why this verse got a hold of me. But verse 3 says, "And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gates and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight." It goes on from there to explain the other things he gathered. Cedar trees. By the way, I love cedar, don't you? Anybody have a cedar closet in your house? No, they used to do that in the old homes. They'd make cedar closets. Your clothes would smell like that cedar. I love that smell. But he got cedar in abundance. He gathered brass and gold and silver. All these things are mentioned. But verse 3 is what got my attention. Look what it says again in verse 3. David prepared what? Iron in abundance. Now, I want to tell you, in a church this age, there's a lot of iron in this building. I'm sure there are, you know, these latchets and just everything around. There's probably not a place you can look that there's not some iron. But he prepared iron in abundance for what? For the nails, for the doors and the gates. That struck me. You know, if you were Solomon, who was going to build the temple, and, you know, your dad becomes old enough that he passes away and you become the king, Solomon knew, by the way, this was going to be one of his responsibilities to build the temple. They say Solomon's temple was magnificent, like beyond description. The gold and the silver and on display, just magnificent. But can you imagine Solomon when David finally passed away and he started going through the rooms that his dad had prepared these things in? I'm sure they were not rooms. I'm sure they were like warehouses. And he would pass a warehouse, and over there were just cedar logs just packed, stacked one on top of the other. The hewn stones were in another place, and there would be piles of gold and piles of silver and brass. And then he'd come to this one room, and it would have iron in abundance. And Solomon would probably go, and go to the next room. But I want you to catch what happened. This building is being held together by a lot of iron. If all of a sudden every nail that was in this building left, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? This ceiling would crash on us. There's just no question about it. Nails, as simple as they seem, are everywhere throughout this building. As little as we pay attention to them, they're vitally important to the structure of this building. So what struck my heart was this. David was not allowed to build the temple, but he made preparation for his son that would follow him, down to the minutest detail of the iron nails. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this story in our Bibles. We who are so busy with life today, it just seems like there's never a time where we just pause and take time to think and consider. Here we have this story of David, who literally thought so many years ahead in preparation for his son to be able to build a temple. God, would you help us to apply these truths to our hearts here today? I pray that you would do a work in our hearts. And God, please, don't miss me. I need you to do a work in my heart today too. Yes, I'm a father. We've raised 4 children. We have grandchildren. But today it's so crucial for me as a papi and a dad to be a man of God and be faithful. I pray that you would help me. And right now as I preach, I pray that you would make clear this message both to the deaf and to the hearing that are here. I pray that you would help my signs to be clear, my voice to be clear as well. And I pray that you would move and work in our hearts here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we've taken that verse. I'm going to get you to go to the books of 1 and 2 Timothy with me. So go to 2 Timothy with me, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I want to share, I like this book because Paul wrote this book, and I believe it was the last book that he was going to write. And he wrote it to his young preacher friend, Timothy. He actually calls him his son in the faith. So as Paul nears the end of his life, he's kind of in that place that David was when he was making preparation for the building of the temple. He's thinking of dying. He's thinking of what he will leave to Timothy. And he leaves him some of the best advice that I think any person could give to their son for the future. So I want to share with you, I have 5 things that I thought about were like nails that I want to leave for my children, and that Paul wanted to leave with Timothy. And so I want to give you those 5 things real quickly, and we'll be done today. The first thing that I think Paul wanted to leave with Timothy was something very simple. I think he wanted to leave him with the love of the Word of God. A love for the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, you probably know this verse, you may have memorized it, verse 15. He wrote to Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing or understanding the word of truth. Paul said to Timothy, all the things you do, make sure you make high priority for the word of God. I want you to have a love for the word of God. You know, I think about the people who have influenced my life. And today is Father's Day. I thank God for my grandfather. Now, let me explain. It's kind of a long story. I'll try to abbreviate it. My father's father, would have been my grandfather, was killed in a car accident when my dad was just 1 year old. So I never knew him. My dad never knew his own father. My mother's father also died young, I believe, but God's plan is perfect. My mother's father died when my mom was old, when she was 12. He was about 50. He had a bee that stung him and killed him. But he was a man of God. And I want to tell you a little bit about his influence on my life. Obviously, I have never met him. He died long before I was born. But his reputation really has been placed in front of me most all of my life. My grandfather, he was 25 when he got saved. And he said to my grandmother, "I have lived for the devil for 25 years. I want to live for God full out the rest of my life." Well, don't you know, he lived another 25 years, and then God called him home. But during those 25 years, my grandfather, he was just a simple farmer. And when he got saved, he couldn't even read. He had, back in those days, you left school pretty early so you could go to work on the farm. He had not really learned to read, so he taught himself to read. How? That's a pretty good teaching book. He got in the Bible and he stayed there. And he taught himself to read the Word of God. I have his Bible at home on my shelf in my office. If you go to the very last page, it's just a blank page. My grandfather wrote this. I love this. P.S. Read. I like that. All of the notes you could write in there. He said, "Don't forget to read this. This is important." Anyway, my grandfather decided it wasn't right for children to grow up without a church. And so he would take, by the way, they had 8 children, 4 girls, 4 boys in their family. And they would go to church on Sunday morning. When church finished, my grandmother would pack their lunch. They would go stop somewhere. They would eat their lunch. And then the whole family would go into a neighborhood where there was no church. And there were a bunch of kids running around, kind of like your bus kids. Amen? Hey, that's an important ministry. And my grandfather, he would drop off the family at a place found. It was a building that was empty. He would drop off the family there, and then my grandfather would drive around and pick up kids. It was an old bus ministry before there was a bus. And he would pick up kids. And one little boy got in, and that little boy didn't have a father. He had twin brothers, and he had a sister. They all got in the car. They went over to the chapel. They went over there. And my grandfather did what they said was Sunday school. They would teach just the Word of God to these kids. Well, what happened later, the parents started to come, and eventually a church was born. But what's interesting to me is that one little boy he picked up, he memorized enough verses that he got to go to camp for free for 1 week. He went to camp and he got saved. That little boy is my father. He didn't have a father. But my mom's dad, he cared enough about the little boy that lived in that neighborhood without Christ, without a church. That means that for the last 57 years, I have been able to be raised in a Christian home. Because my grandfather loved kids so much that he went out and he witnessed and he shared. And I praise God that today I live in a Christian home because of that man. He was just a simple man, but you know what? He loved the Word of God. And he saw the need for other people to know the Word of God. My grandfather influenced my life greatly. Still, I've never met him here on this earth. I'm excited about the day we'll meet in heaven. Amen? That's going to be an exciting time. But his reputation has laid a path for me. My grandfather made some nails that he left for me. And many times I stand to preach. My grandfather was not a preacher. He was just a farmer. But when I stand to preach, I feel like I have the responsibility to be true to my grandfather who was before me. Amen? Because he left me some nails. He loved the Word of God. P.S. Read. I like that. By the way, I wrote it in the back of my Bible. And every Bible I get, I write P.S. Read at the back of it because I want to make sure I stay true to that. Those are some nails that were left for me. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We don't have enough Christians who study. I'm just being honest with you. Maybe this morning, and I don't want to, well, I guess maybe I do want to bring conviction. But if you got up this morning and you read the newspaper and you haven't read your Bible yet, or you turned on the TV and you watched your Bible yet, shame on you. This is the word of life. It's God's word for us, and it leads us where we need to go. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. It takes work to read and study and stay in the word of God. It's tough, but it's worth it. The second thing that I want you to see, stay in the same book. Go to chapter 4. The second thing that nail that I want to pass on to my children and our grandchildren is a commitment to stand for the truths in the Word of God. There are many, many Christians today, I believe, who are, they're Christians when it's convenient. But when it's tough, they turn and run. I don't want to be one of those. By the way, I don't think we will know which we are until the tough times come. I want to be a man who stands for the truths of the Word of God. I don't want to run. And I've asked God for that. I don't know. Maybe there's going to come a day here in America where it's against the law to stand and preach the Word of God. I hope I will stand and preach until I get thrown into prison. By the way, I love prison ministry, but I'd rather not do it from inside. But I will if that's what happens. I hope. And I've asked the Lord to help me for that. I don't know what's going to happen. But I want to stand for the truths of the Word of God. Look in chapter 4, verse 2. Paul said to Timothy, the young preacher, "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the word of God, all of it." Now, we've got these guys on TV today who have churches with 10,000 sitting in. You know, they got little stadiums that they bought. And they preach and they smile real big. I won't tell you who their names are, but their initials are Joel Osteen. But anyway, they stand and they preach, they smile. It really is nice. Sin? Oh no, we're not going to talk about sin. Right, that's not preaching.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. He said, "Preach the word of God, rebuke, exhort." I'm sorry, "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with doctrine." Without the meat of the Word of God, and by the way, that has got to include all of it. You know, you don't just pick out the nice verses and share friendly phrases. We've got to preach. Why? Because we need this. Now, I don't know about you, but my mother would not allow me to play out in the street where the cars were going up and down the road. You might say, "That's cruel. Let him show his independence." No, I thank God for that, or I'd been flattened by now. I wouldn't be here. I'm thankful for the rules in my home. And by the way, in my home, we got spanked for things we did wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was all right. I lived. I think about how bad I am now. Woo! Think without it. It would be horrible. But anyway, I probably would be in prison today instead of here. But anyway, we need to preach the whole Word of God. And we need to stand. We need some people today, Christians, not only the pastor or missionary. We need some regular people who will stand for the truths of the Word of God. Hey, listen, I want to tell you, today, the world we're living is dying to know our Savior. I've been to prison. I go many, many times to prison and preach. I love it. And I go into that prison and I look around at the faces that are looking back at me and I see empty, 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 without hope faces looking. By the way, that's why I love to preach there. Because I bring in the Word of God and that's the hope.
Amen.
And I tell them, "This is for you." And they're like, "For me? No, you don't know what I've done." I said, "No, I don't know what you've done, but He knows and He loves you still." Isn't that a wonderful truth? Jesus Christ loves you still. I love Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commendeth His love toward us." And wait till you catch this phrase. "In that while we were yet sinners." You see, God doesn't say, "You clean up yourself and then come save me." By the way, that's what religion tells you. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's a wonderful Savior. That's a wonderful Savior. Boy, I love Him. I want to stand for Him. I want Him. By the way, I'm hoping my dad today will look over here in Massachusetts from Pennsylvania and say, "That's my boy." I want to stand for God because I have a Father who taught me that. And I don't want to fail. But my Heavenly Father is watching me. And I want Him to look down and say, "Jim Braceland, well done, thou good and faithful servant." Serve. Do something for God. Stand for the truths of the Word of God. Let me give you the third thing. The third thing. Boy, I've got a lot of notes in here. I'm just passing right by. You'll have to come back later. We'll do them again. Number three, I want to pass on to our children and grandchildren a never-ending zeal to see souls saved. I want our children to see in their father and our grandchildren to see in their poppy a man who loves people who are lost and will go anywhere and do anything to reach a lost person. I want them to see their poppy on his knees in tears for souls that are lost. I want them to see that in me. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to see verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. By the way, this kicks out all those people who say that Christ only died for people who would be saved. They've got to read their Bibles, I think. I don't know how they miss these things. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says who? It's talking about our God, by the way. Talking about God, it says this: who will have who? All men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God in heaven today is not picking and choosing. Oh, I like him. I don't like her. I'll choose him. I'm not choosing her. Oh, she'd be good. I like her. That's not God. God is looking in this room today, and do you know what he says? Oh, boy, I would love to see every person in this room say, I would love to meet every one of you in heaven. I don't want to have to say to any of you today, depart from me. I never knew you. Go to hell. Don't want that. And all these people who say, how, by the way, I don't like these people. How can a loving God send people to hell? He doesn't. He doesn't send any person to hell. We have earned it. If you're here today without Christ, you are going to hell today. And I'm not being mean, I'm just being truthful with you. You see, heaven is a perfect place. And not one sin can go into heaven, or it's no longer perfect. God has a requirement for perfection to enter into heaven. You say, well, that's not fair. Nobody I know is perfect. You're right, nobody's perfect. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, that's me, believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to see you in heaven. I want to join with God in that desire to see people in heaven. I know some people, I told you before, I don't know why I'm talking so much about prison today, but I told you I love to go... I love to preach in prison, but I know people who criticize me for that. They say, oh, those people in prison, they deserve what they're getting. And I look at those people and say, well, I deserve worse than what I'm getting, but I'm thankful for the mercy of God. So I'm going to go to the place where the need is the greatest. I love, you know what, preacher? I love going there because it's like going to catch fish in a pond. where nobody has been for 100 years and you have the only worm. You with me? You throw that worm out there and every fish, and they want it. That's what, for me, preaching in prison is like that. I go into a room where it's full of people who have no hope. They have no peace. And they have no hope of having peace. And I tell them that God offers them peace. Man, it's wonderful. I want that zeal. I want our kids to know that their dad and their poppy loves souls. You know, our daughter, our youngest daughter, very, very, very shy still today. She's very shy. I remember she traveled with us for a few years while we were traveling around. And one time, I remember clear, we stopped at a very fancy restaurant for lunch. It was a King's restaurant. Burger King. Yeah. We dined fancy. Only the best for my wife. But anyway, we stopped at a Burger King. And I remember we were waiting in a line, and Amanda, our daughter, she was just little. She's a redhead, by the way. She's a beautiful girl. She was standing next to me, and she pulled on my thing, and I said, "What? What do you want?" She said, "Dad, make sure you give a tract to that lady." I said, "I'm a missionary. You give her the." No, I didn't say that. I said, "Okay." So I reached in my pie, made sure, because you know she's watching. Her dad, I want her to know her dad's got track and he's ready and he's got a burden. You understand what I'm saying? I want to leave that nail for my children. Let me give you number four. This one is where I'm at right now. You know, before I was young, and now I'm old. I say things now. I say, "Oh, you remember the TV show The Lone Ranger?" And everybody goes, "What? Who?" You know, is he a movie? Well, now he might be a movie. I don't know. They're bringing them all back. But I remember on Saturday mornings, I would wake up when I was a kid. Oh, it was my favorite day of the week. Why? Because the Lone Ranger was on Saturday mornings. By the way, no color on the TV. Yeah, and it was about that big. And it was a mess. But anyway, but I'd wake up because he was going to save the people at the, you know. And I look, and anyway, I'm getting old. So now, my number four one. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll make sure I stay in the Word of God. Amen. I'm on the Lone Ranger now. But anyway, I'm getting old. But here's my number four one. And this one's serious to me. This is, I believe it is top priority for me right now. I want to finish my race true to God. I want to finish true to God. I don't want to fail the Lord. And by the way, I can. I'm flesh. I'm weak. I'm filled with pride. I have to kick out pride all the time to stay humble. I want your praise for me. I want that. I don't want that sin. So I'm begging God to help me to stay true all the way to the end. Look what, we know these are famous. This is a famous verse in chapter 4, verse 7. Paul, writing to young Timothy, says, "I have fought a good fight." By the way, living for God is a battle. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I want that to be my story. I remember when I was young and I ran on the track team in my high school. And I love my favorite thing to do, what? I ran for one reason. I wanted to cross that line first. Now, I know that's not popular today. I am not politically correct, I'm going to tell you right now. I wanted to win every time. If I could push you and knock you out, I would do that. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you. I wanted to win. I wanted to be the first one to cross that line. And I tell you, I picture this. I picture heaven for me. It's coming soon for me. By the way, for you too. We think, oh, it's way out. No, it's closer than we think. And the rapture could happen this afternoon. I want to be ready. But when it comes, I want to be sweating. I want my hair to be gone like this. I want to have dirt on my knees.
I want to have blood on my elbows, and I want to be pressing toward that line when I cross that line to heaven. I don't want to be going, let some other people do it. Not my responsibility. I don't want to do that. I want to be working hard for God. I want to fight until the end of my course. I want to keep the faith all the way through. And I want to pass that on to our children. I want our kids to stay when it's tough. We have raised a generation, I hate to say it, we have raised a generation of sissies. Because if something goes wrong, we fix it. Oh, your teacher is mean to you? Oh, you poor boy. You would never do. By the way, I was a teacher before. And I remember meeting with the parents. And my Johnny would never do that. Have you watched your Johnny lately? All of us are sinners. And I want my kids to know there's going to be times when mean things happen to you. And you need to walk right no matter what happens to you. I want to pass on to them that life is a race that is tough. And I want them to learn from me that they stay with it. So when things get rough for me, I don't want to quit. I don't want to step back. I don't want to let another person take my place. I want to do what God called me to do until my life ends. I want to finish strong. Let me give you number five. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I love these verses too. Now again, this is another old thing, but it's not just for old people. For you young people, you say, whew, it's not for me. Oh yeah, it is for you too. I want to take the things God has taught me, and I want to learn from them, I want to obey them, and then I want to give them out to the next generation. Verse 1, chapter 2. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I was telling the pastor the other day, he's still young. I don't know how old he is, but he's young. I'm pretty sure he's younger than me. That makes him young. I've seen different stages of my life. I was young, you know. I was at an age where I knew everything. Yep, you were there too. I was about 21. I knew everything. I started in ministry 34 years ago, and I thought, I know every Bible answer in the world. I know it. And I was excited to go work at a church. I thought, I'm going to go there and join. I'm going to be on the church staff there, and people are going to love me because I'm the preacher. Yeah, that lasts about 2 months. And I found out nobody loved me but her. She was the only one. And sometimes I wasn't sure about her. She loved me all the way through. But I learned. So I went through that stage where I knew everything. And then I came to the next stage where I thought, I don't know anything. And God, I need you. And I would beg God for help. And he would always come through. And now I'm to the place where I'm not young anymore. Now I'm the old person. So I'm now to this verse. I have heard and heard and heard the word of God. I praise God. I was from the time I was 2 weeks old until today, I have been in church every Sunday of my life except with a doctor's excuse written and signed by two other doctors. I mean, I have been in church, and I've heard and heard and heard. I've heard messages. I've heard teaching. I've memorized verses. I've learned songs. I mean, this morning I'm standing down here, I have to open the song book. I know all of the verses of the song we sang. I was raised there. So now I've heard and heard and heard and heard. Do I just go till I explode? No, I have a responsibility to take what I have heard and give it to him and her and him. And I pass on the things I have heard among faithful witnesses. I pass on, or it dies with me. So I want to be true, and the nail that I pass on, I want to encourage other people. What you learn, pass on to someone else. By the way, that is the plan for God's church. That's how we're still here, by the way. Christ ascended into heaven over 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, and here we sit in Massachusetts, which is, from the Word of God, the uttermost parts of the earth. If you think about it, how did the gospel get all the way around here without an airplane? How did the gospel spread without the internet? It's amazing. How? One person telling another person, telling another person, telling, and here we sit today. Praise God for faithful men and women of the past. But now, it's our responsibility. So let me challenge you as we close today. God has used many, many faithful people in my past. My father, my grandfather, older preachers, some who are now in heaven. But they have given to me some wisdom. They've given me nails to build something for God. And I pray by the grace of God that I will build what He planned for me with my life. By the way, you have responsibility for that too. But I'm not satisfied with me building something for God. I want to pass on to the next generation the things they will need so they can build for God too. I want to leave my children and our they're not mine, they're ours, by the way, our children and our grandchildren, I want to pass on to them some nails. I want to leave them with the thing that will hold their building together. Oh, they can coat it with gold if they want. But inside, where it's really important, I want the nails to be strong. And I want to leave my children with that. I hope you will be the same as me today. Let's close with prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment, I made God a promise years ago that if I had a chance to stand behind a pulpit, that I would always give people the opportunity to trust Christ. I don't know you all today. I've met some of you before in years past, last year when we were here, but I don't know most of you. And if you're here today and you don't know for sure if your life ended right now that you'd go to heaven, listen, I already told you God wants you to be in heaven. God has done everything He could do to get you to heaven. Now it's your turn. It's your responsibility. God purchased the gift for you of heaven. He paid it in full. You can't pay any more for it. By the way, there's nothing you can do today to make God love you more than He already loves you. May I say this to you too? You can't do anything that would make Him love you less. That's just the way God is. He loves you. He gave the ultimate price for your sin. But now He's offered the gift to you, and it's got to be your responsibility. By the way, nobody else can receive it for you. You've got to receive it for yourself. It's an individual thing. If you're here today, let me ask you this question. If you died right now, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? If you don't know that for sure, you're the person I want to talk to for just a moment. By the way, I promise you I will not embarrass you. I won't do anything to force you into anything. I can't force you to receive a gift, but by the way, I want you to see the gift clearly, and I'm going to beg you to receive. Make you receive. Here today, and you'd say, Jim, I don't know for sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Recently, I asked that question of a lady. She said, how's 95%? I asked her, are you willing to gamble on the 5%? You tell me. And by the way, she was 89 years old and trusted Christ that day. So I want to tell you right here and now, God is waiting for you to receive His gift. If you're not 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, and you say, you know what, I want to make sure today. There's a very simple way to do it. You have to do what God says it takes. Here's what God said. All of us are sinners. There's not a person in this room today, including the guy who preached to you this morning, that is, all of us are sinners. None of us is perfect. God sent for us His perfect Son. He died in your place and in my place. When Jesus died on the cross, He didn't die for His sins. He died for our sins. When he was dead, they buried Him, and 3 days later, He rose from the grave. You say, well, I'm not sure if I believe that. Well, over 500 people saw Him at one time. The names of people who saw Him were recorded in the Word of God in books that people who were also alive at the same time read.
I want to tell you, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. If you'll believe that and ask God to give him to you as your forgiveness of sin, God will do just that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, you say, Jim, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven, but I want to make sure. Would you pray a simple prayer? Don't do it out loud. Again, I told you, I don't want to embarrass you. But if you'll pray this simple prayer and you'll mean it with all your heart, you will receive the gift God offers you. Why don't you do that right now? In the quietness of your own heart, pray this simple prayer. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that my sin would keep me out of heaven. I believe Jesus Christ lived without sin, perfect. I believe he died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the grave for me. And I believe you offer his death as a gift of forgiveness for me. Today, I'll take that gift for myself. Today, I will trust Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ to forgive my sin. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you prayed with me just now and you really meant business with God, would you just raise your hand real quickly? Anybody like that? I prayed with you, Jim. Thank you right there. Anybody else? I prayed with you. I really meant business. Heads still bowed, eyes still closed. Christian, I really preach to those of us who are saved today. You have one life to live. I don't know much poetry, but I know this one. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Christian, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life hoarding up things for yourself and forgetting about those who are around you. Dads, today, may I challenge you, you cannot teach what you have not learned. Get in the Word of God and so you can teach your kids and your grandkids. Be faithful to what you know in the Word of God. Christian, today maybe God's worked on your heart about some things. As the invitation time comes, Pastor will give it. I'm going to ask God to give him wisdom to know what to do. If God's touched your heart, would you respond to that? Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the nails that were gathered by a faithful man for his son to do the work. Thank you that that temple was built and it was magnificent. Even the Queen of Sheba came in awe of that temple. We didn't think much about the nails, but God, thank you for David having the foresight to gather iron in abundance for the nails. Help us to do the same for our children and those who follow us. We pray that you would work in this invitation in a mighty way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.